Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, folks. I tell you what, if it was any better day than today, I don't know where we'd be. You know, here we are going into, in the United States anyway, Thanksgiving, going into what we can be thankful for. And, you know, my day started as it always does. About 5:30 in the morning, I'm drinking my first cup of coffee, and I get a call from one of my business partners, Jim Gilhouse, sharing with me just some phenomenal information where he has taken a founding position with a brand new company called My Life Share. And I got all excited for him. He was so stoked, so excited. You know, then I had a phone call from one of my other business partners, Matthew Adams. Phenomenal phone call, sitting there eating my bacon, egg, and cheese sandwich. And then I get back here to the house, and I see my boss and my business partner, Dennis Tautel, has written me some awesome emails before we start our day. It's like, you know what, I just love surrounding myself with linchpins, being around people who are wanting to make a difference, being around people who are so focused on their future, so focused on where they're going and what they can do with their lives that it's amazing. Now, is everything perfect? Absolutely not. I've got other business partners that are going through their own personal issues, and we're working through those. But, you know, when I look at where each of us are at and how thankful we can be for everything that's going on, it truly, truly excites me. I get ecstatic about where we're going. Today we're in Seth Godin's book, Linchpin, Are You Indispensable? And it's a massive shift because everybody that's on this show today listening on their computer or live on the switchboard, and we are packed, it all comes down to resistance. See, we all have life experiences that cause us to either see things in a forward-looking focus where we're going to go get it done, or we start looking for reasons why it's not going to work. Broken promises, broken dreams, miscommunications. It amazes me how many times I see this happen because people have different definitions for what they believe is an intention or a promise or a precept or a principle or a value. They allow circumstances outside of their control to continue to hold them back. And when I look at that, I actually want to cry inside because I see such potential sometimes of people. I look at the companies out there and the organizations around the world who have set the record straight, who have made a difference, who have changed us. How many would have thought that a poor black girl by the name of Oprah Winfrey would become such a driving force in the world today? A woman that I don't even agree with their ideology most of the time, but there is no doubt that we're on the same page when it comes to changing the world. I look at Apple Computer. Who would have thought when Andy Hertzfeld was there with his team in the infancy stage that they would create the Mac, that they would spend sleepless nights focused on where it was going and what they were doing. When other people were saying it can't be done, nobody can beat IBM's computer. Nobody can beat the DOS system. Andy and his team said, we can kick some butt. We can go make this happen. We're linchpins. See, I get so upset, and we're going to go off the – I mean, we're going to talk about resistance, but there's going to be a lot of added emotion in this one today, because I have seen some great people fail. I think back to the 80s with the television evangelist and all the good. They truly were doing good. But instead of being linchpins, they got caught up in the cog, and the next thing you know, that how many people's lives did they end up hurting? Their own life they hurt. Folks, this is, if we continue to live in the past, because what happens now is people always want to make fun of, oh, that's one of those television evangelists. Could be, probably is. But there's people out there that are linchpins in every sector of life, health, spiritual, financial, physical, you know, business, you name it, they're there. The question is, what do you want to do? Listen to what Andy wrote. Andy Hertzfeld is one of the fathers of the Mac. He contributed to his diary about the launch of the original Mac, the computer that changed everything. Here's what he wrote. The sun has already risen, and the software team finally began to scatter and go home to collapse. We weren't sure if we were finished or not, and it felt strange to have nothing to do after working so hard for so long. Instead of going home, Don Denman and I sat on a couch in the lobby in a daze and watched the accounting and marketing people trickle in to work around 7:30 or so. We must have been quite a sight. Everyone could tell that we'd been up all night. Actually, I hadn't been home or showered in 3 days. In that moment, Andy felt like an artist. He had shipped the product. See, the question that we've got to ask ourselves about resistance, see, resistance keeps us from shipping out, keeps us from delivering the product at the end of the day. I see more people become dull, negative, disillusioned crybabies because of past experiences instead of focusing on what they can control and where they can take their future. See, at the end of the day, you can control what you feel. You can control where you want to go. Here's what happens. This is the sad part about this. Most people want to let the lizard brain take over. And this is Seth's focus on this. He calls it the lizard brain. It's that part of the brain that actually is there when we have emotional highs and emotional lows. It's the part of the brain that's there that helps to protect us, that helps to keep us from getting hurt, that helps us in all of this other stuff. But here's what it also does. It speaks negative thoughts to us. You can't trust those people. Oh, that's a broken promise. Oh, you don't want to go there. Oh, there we go again. Oh, somebody's letting their integrity down. Oh, here you go. See, that what I tell you. All of a sudden, it's all the negative crap that's there. It becomes a vacuum inside of our brain. We decide that we're just going to hang out. We're not going to do anything. But see, here's what I think, and this is what Seth writes. The only purpose of starting is to finish. So I used to write to people, and I still tell them all the time, never, never give up. I don't tell them not to quit. I just tell them not to give up. There's times when you're going to have to quit. You got to quit being negative. You got to quit focusing on the glass being half empty. You got to focus on where you're going and what you're doing. See, it's about the future. You cannot change anything in the past. You can only change the outcome of where you're going to take your life, where you're going to lead your organization, where you're leading your team. See, at the end of the day, that's what Seth is getting at. Why do you think Seth has written hundreds of books, but most people have only heard of 4 or 5? That's the key. Name the products at Apple that have failed. Most of them people just want to forget and not know about. See, the concept here is what has worked, what has shipped out the door, what has become art, what is making a change. In software, we call it thrashing. Steve McConnell helped us understand how poorly timed thrashing sabotages every software project. See, what happens is everybody wants to be a chief sometimes in the software project. It happens everywhere. There's always a chief. There's always somebody that knows how to do things better. Here's the concept that you've got to look at. If you're leading your team, then you put a nice little core structure around you. You guys brainstorm and you make decisions and you move forward. I am not one that procrastinates. When I know something needs to be done, when there's been some loose ends just sitting around, I want them taken care of. I want them focused forward. I want to move this thing into high gear. I don't care what the project is. When people come to me and they start talking about all the past promises that they think have been broken, I say, what the heck's that got to do with the price of tea in China? Now we're just thrashing around a little bit more. Look, this is a new day. We're moving forward. This is the way it works. Let's put it in writing. Let's make sure we both agree with it, and let's move it to the next level. When I took this position with Ignite 360, the decision was made very quickly. There isn't a lot of thrashing that has to take place if you know where you're going. Now, it takes a little bit of thrashing to get there. You got to break through some of these paradigm shifts. You got to move it to a new level. But see, here's the kicker, and you can write this one down. There are two solutions to the coordination problem, and both of them make people uncomfortable because both challenge our resistance. I'm going to say that again because Seth writes this so good. There are two solutions to the coordination problem. And both of them make people uncomfortable because both challenge our resistance. See, we want to resist change all the time. We would rather wallow in self-pity. And I'm going to step on some ladies' toes and some men's toes, probably. But one of the things that just pisses me off is when I see people in relationships and all they want to do is gripe and moan about them instead of fixing them. My husband's a jerk. My wife doesn't care about me. You know what? The same thing happens in every type of relationship. I'll help field leaders do the same thing. My company just doesn't understand. My company's this, my company's that. When I look back, they've had the same freaking problem in every company that they've ever been with. Or I'll hear CEOs say, you can't trust the field. The field are just here today, gone tomorrow. And I look around and think, well, you're not building relationships with them. You got to go out there and build relationships. You don't build relationships with everybody. You don't even build relationships with everybody that need them. You build relationships with the people that deserve them, who want to move forward. Here's the two solutions. Number one, relentlessly limit the number of people that's allowed to thrash. Don't go out there and get advice from 100 people. You shouldn't get advice from more than 12 people, I'm going to tell you now. And probably it's going to be 3 or 4, to be honest. Seth says, this means that you need formal procedures for excluding people, not including people, for excluding people, even well-meaning people with authority. And you need secrecy. If you have a choice between being surprised and watching a great project shipped on time, or being involved and participating in the late launch of a mediocre project, which do you want? You must pick one or the other. See, I would rather be surprised, kick butt, and get it out the door. Not everybody is going to get to be in there. There's going to be some secrecy going on. I'm going to surround myself with people that are doing something, not people that are talking about doing something. Every successful leader that I know in every niche, in every industry, in every segment of the world, surrounds themselves with a core team, a team that makes up for their weaknesses, a team that they have strengths that the other people don't, and together they make a driving, penetrating force to change the world. The second thing that Seth writes in here, appoint one person, a linchpin, to run it. Not to co-run it or to lead a task force or be on a freaking committee. I put the freaking word in there. One person, a human being, runs it. Her name's on it, her decisions. Get scared early, not late. Be brave early, not late. Thrash now, not later. It's too expensive to thrash at the late stages. I have a situation in my own life. I come into a position in a company. You guys know that. It's all over the internet. And I am moving fast. I mean, the owner of this company didn't hire me on to sit around on my butt doing nothing. So I'm out here and we're making some things happen. We're on the phone constantly. We're on the phone with leaders. We're moving things forward. And every now and then, you hit a wall of resistance. And you sit there and you look at the potential of the individual leaders where the resistance is coming in, and you think, what the heck is going on? I got leaders over here kicking butt and taking names, and they're saying, we're in. I got leaders over here that are not doing what they have the potential to do, and what they want to sit around is look at the fine print and try to find something that's there that's not. They're linchpins, but they've got themselves in a corral. I've seen the passion that they've had for years. And I sit back and I think, how can I lead them correctly? What can I do to break the resistance? And I'm sitting here reading this chapter and I thought, wow. Seth writes, resistance, your lizard brain. He says, the lizard brain is hungry, scared, angry, and horny. Yes, I know, I use the H word. The lizard brain is hungry, scared, angry, and horny. Said it again. Andy Stanley, one of my good friends and the founding pastor of North Point Church in Atlanta, says it a little different. He calls it our appetites. He said the human brain has certain appetites that cause addictions. Hunger is one of them. We just want to eat. That's why America is obese. Scared. They'd rather sit in front of a TV than go out and change the world these days. the media craves. They get on the internet. They, oh my gosh, look at the conspiracy theories. They get scared. They get angry. Everything that they don't understand becomes an addiction, an appetite. They got to feed their anger and sex. So you want to know how to way to people's sex. Sex has become the answer to women and men. Well, you know what? Seth just sums it up. It's a lizard brain. You're hungry, scared, angry, and horny. It says the lizard brain only wants to eat and be safe. Oh, don't go out there and don't trust them people. No, you just stay right. Don't go do anything big like you know you can do. Somebody might say, oh, you failed. Don't do this. Don't do that. Oops. The lizard brain will fight to the death if it has to, but it would rather run away. It's like a vendetta and has no trouble getting angry. The lizard brain cares what everybody else thinks because the status in the tribe is essential to its survival. Starting to step on your toes today? I read this chapter and it hit me between the eyes. See, it isn't about the status quo. It isn't playing it safe. It's about changing the world one person at a time. It's not about finding every dark conspiracy underneath every contract, underneath every hole. Today I was on the phone with a buddy of mine. We were going through some issues, and I said, you know what, you remind me of a story I read in the Bible about where Moses sends the spies into the promised land. They all come back. The majority of the spies say, we can't do this, man. The cities are all fortified. There's giants in the land. We just can't do this. Two of the spies, one's Joshua, he goes on to lead the Israelites into the promised land. He says, we can do anything, man. It ain't no big deal at all. Our God's bigger than theirs. Let's go kick some butt and take names, man. This thing is full of milk and honey. It's there for our taking. Let's do it. Moses listened to all those little spies that had the lizard brain. So for another 40 years, the Hebrews just kept going around the desert. Now, some of you probably aren't into the Bible, and that's cool. I don't have a problem with that. I just happen to like to read. It's got some great business stuff in there. But listen to me. You want to know what the difference is between Apple Computer and some of the other companies that are no longer out there fighting? It's because they got it. They said it doesn't matter if IBM is giant. It doesn't matter if Microsoft is dominating. Matter of fact, we could care less if we dominate. What we want to do is change people's lives with an enjoyable experience. And if we only have 10% of the market or 1% of the market, that's great. They were never, hardly ever, to get 10% of the market in the computer business. And they brought out the iPod. And as soon as the iPod came number one, all of a sudden people started buying Apple computers. They broke the 10% barrier after almost 20 years in existence. When I took my position with the new company, the lizard brains came out all over the place. Well, that won't work. That won't work, Troy. Oh, Troy, that's nobody's going to understand that. Nope, that what the heck is that? Nobody understands it, and I just started laughing. I knew my decision was accurate. I knew I'd made the right choice. See, at the end of the day, you cannot let your lizard brain take control. Seth writes this, the lizard brain is not merely a concept, it's real, and it's living on the top of your spine, fighting for your survival. But of course, survival and success are not the same thing. The lizard brain is the reason you're afraid, the reason that you don't have all the art that you can, the reason that you don't ship when you can. The lizard brain is the source of your resistance. This is personal to me today, guys, because I've lived that. Throughout my life, I've let the resistance sometimes take control. And there came a turning point in my life where I said, no more. It was the tipping point, and I said, enough is enough. Not saying that sometimes that lizard brain don't creep up every now and then. But we got behind it. And now when I see it cropping up, I get excited. I start surrounding myself with people that are stronger, more focused, hungry. It goes away quickly. I get motivated. See, that's the kicker. I watch my wife sometimes, the lizard brain creeps up on her, and she gets a little bit of mental block when she's writing. And she's got to let that creative juices flow, and I'll grab her, and we go down the beach, and she sees God's great creation, the water coming in, the beautiful trees as we go four-wheeling back and see the beauty around the lake. We kick butt. We just crank it up. Sometimes that's what you've got to do. So you've got to realize that you're in control. The brain is on top of your head. I'm going to refer back to the Bible again just for a second. When Jesus was walking the earth, one of the things he said was, if you think it, you've already done it. And he was talking about murder and adultery and all that kind of stuff that, you know, that's in the Bible. But science has proven his words are accurate. The brain cannot differentiate between reality and fantasy. What you feed your brain will become your perception. It becomes your reality. If you think there's a doggone a gotcha behind every corner, you're never going to succeed. I've seen great marriages break up all because one or the other had some type of a physical affair or an emotional affair. They're flirting with somebody on Facebook, so automatically they think that their spouse must be doing the same thing. And all of a sudden they say, well, I might as well just do it too, because I know they must be doing it too. Just all of a sudden the brain feeds on that negative, that fear and that anger. Are you going to let that happen to you in your business? When Jim Gilhouse called me, he said, Troy, I'm going to make a decision. It may rock our world a little bit, dude. I said, dude, how much more can it rock? I just took a corporate position with a company. He said, all right, man, you support me? I said, 100%. I said, you're making me keep this under wraps. I can't. I got to share it. I told him I was going to do that today. Because he didn't let resistance hold him back. He didn't let the what-if people, and oh, what are they going to say, and oh, will I lose influence in the tribe? Who the heck cares? If you lose influence in your tribe, you didn't have the influence anyway. Your integrity is something that will not ever be compromised. But you're going to make decisions based on your principles. And if you say, I'm going to go for it, I'm going to go do it, I may fail, but I'm going to learn from it. And somebody says, oh, you should play it safe. Do you realize they've already given in to their resistance? They're not doing a cotton-picking thing. Do you really want to be like them? People with sales resistance, people wonder why their business isn't coming up, and they come up with freaking excuses all the time. I hear this all the time. Troy, man, we're going into the holidays. What are you pushing us so hard for? So because this is the holidays. This is when you should be out there. Man, your business should double this month. I was on the phone last Friday with a guy out of Austin. He's looking at our company. He said, dude, I want to get started now. I want to get this thing cranked up. He said, this is the holidays. I want to get started. He goes, this is the greatest time for me. And I thought, man, you know, that boy doesn't have any resistance. Listen to this. Seth writes this. Sales resistance. Why is it that some salespeople put in years of training, hours of efforts, thousands of dollars in travel expenses, and then leave without the sale, while others push through and reach for the last profitable part of the walk, and they leave with an order? The two brains again. The fleeting moment that feels threatened. All of a sudden, what if I offend them? What if I walk out the door? I've been there. I know what it means. See, you've got to take control. You've got to say enough. And yeah, I know some of this may be strange. That's because y'all weren't in the Marine Corps. The Marine Corps pushes that brand new recruit, what they call the maggot. I was called a maggot the day my foot hit the yellow line and I had to walk down the red footprints. I was a maggot. Look at those Marines over there, maggot. If you want to be like them, you better do what I say. And they broke us down emotionally, physically, and they built us up. And at the end of that 12-week period, I realized there is nothing that I can't accomplish if I build the right team around me, if I have the right mindset. People come out and they say, well, Troy, you're probably taught to be mean. No, I was taught to be a leader and to be respectful. And the other thing that's triggered in the back of my mind, with the help of already the lizard brain that's there, is there are certain events that will happen that trigger a thought process, that triggers the sparks in my brain that allow me to do things that most people wouldn't do. It's the difference between able to look down the barrel of a gun and not wet your pants, and look down the barrel of a gun and crap your pants. You may say, Troy, what's that got to do with sales? What's that got to do with building my team? Because the same principle happens to you guys. You look at the telephone, and all of a sudden you're afraid to pick it up. You see a big leader that's out there that you've heard about, and you're afraid to call him. Or worse yet, you try to judge everybody. They wouldn't want to do my business. They wouldn't be interested in my business. I shouldn't probably talk to them. See, you can't do that. Not if you're going to build something and be proud of it. You cannot let your lizard brain get control of you. You cannot sit back here and do that. Seth writes this, we all know it. Successful people are successful for one simple reason. They think of failure differently. That's it. The reason that they are linchpins is because they see failure differently. They do not let their lizard brain take control of them. They seek out discomfort. They move forward. They kick butt. You want to know what else they do? And this is going to freak a lot of you out, and you're going to say, oh, there he goes again, breaking the myths of direct selling. Successful people don't have a plan B. I have no freaking clue where the plan B concept came in. That's like me getting with Paige and saying, you know what, she's pretty hot, but just in case when she gets older and things start to move in different places, I don't want a piece of that, I'm going to go have me a plan B on the side. Now, how long do you think that's going to last? But yet, that's what I see happening. You want to know why? Because the lizard brain starts telling people, you can't trust that company. You can't trust that person. Oh, you've been hurt before. You've been shafted. It's human nature. I mean, that's the sad part about it. It's in the brain. The question is, you're going to let somebody else, some other brain, you're going to let that little voice in your brain, that little, you know, little devil with the pitchfork, dictate to you, you're going to have a plan B instead of committing 100% to your success and the success of your team. You're going to let past failures because somebody else lets you down hold you back from what could be a life-changing experience today. Most people don't know this. They do if they listen to me. I got married when I was 18 years old, not to Paige. I was married a year and a half. In that year and a half time period, I learned to hate women, period. Totally, can't trust them, don't like them, don't want to be around them. Oh, they're out to screw you, whether it's physically, money, mentally, I don't care what it is, can't trust them. That was just my lizard brain talking. 23 years I've been married to Paige, half my life. Been married more to her than I've been living at home. I learned to trust one woman. That woman taught me to trust my daughters, taught me to respect other women. Are you going to let your past experiences cause you to mistrust everybody in your life? Second guess what you should be doing or shouldn't be doing? I can't go through this whole chapter on resistance, but I'm telling you today, if you want to be a linchpin, you better change your mindset. You better stop all of the negative thought. You better stop worrying about what other people said. You better look at what's in front of you. Look at what the potential is for tomorrow and move forward. Seth puts it this way. The only solution is to call all the bluffs at once, to tolerate no rational or irrational, and to hold back on your art, hold back on becoming a linchpin. The only solution is to start today, start now, and start right. It's time to move forward. Tomorrow we're going to talk about the powerful culture of gifts. It's going to be a life-changing experience, folks. I love having you on the radio show. Sometimes I'm going to step on your toes because I've had mine stepped on. I want you to change. I want you to become the person that you can become. Live life like it's an epic adventure. I'll see you at the top. Be back here tomorrow for Radio for Your Mind. Bye now.